The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour One Podcast.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Thursday. A lot happening today and some pretty special guests, including Jimbo Fisher, moments away. Thank you for taking time out of your busy day on this Thursday. I know there's a lot going on with the Masters underway. We'll keep you updated if anything important happens. Tiger is well on his way in his round, for those of you who have not been watching. But we have a lot to do here, so let's get right to it. Aggies embracing the role of being the villain. We'll talk to Jimbo Fisher about that. Something tells me he likes it. They are now the bad boys of college football. We'll talk about that in just a couple of minutes with the head coach himself as they get ready for the spring football game. Meanwhile, at Alabama, we anticipated this could happen, and now it has. A lot of conversation about one young player who is gone over a violation of team rules. Nick Saban didn't have a lot to say about it last night, but one got the impression he has said the final word on this. I don't think Mr. Hall is coming back anytime soon. Meanwhile, they love AR-15 in Florida. It was all about Anthony Richardson last year. Didn't quite happen. But anyway, he is the man of the moment for a new football coach. There is a new, remember the ruling, the Alston ruling, allows players to make money off of education, and a number of schools are taking advantage of it. It comes to, anywhere between $5,000 and $7,000 a year. That's non-NIL money, but it's legit. These are the 10 schools that are in the midst of it. Alabama, Arkansas, Auburn, Florida, Kentucky, LSU, Missouri, Ole Miss, South Carolina, and Tennessee. So what are we going to do today? We are going to have a number of guests, especially at the beginning of the program when Jimbo Fisher is scheduled to join us here in just a few minutes. We'll also talk to Nick Kelly about things in Tuscaloosa. And who knows? We may pop around some other places as well. That's all we're willing to tell you right now. Let's get to the phones at 855-242-7285, and we begin with Bubba in North Carolina. Hello, Bubba.
Hey, Paul. How's it going today?
Very well.
Listen, I was watching WCNC out of Charlotte this morning. They were reporting that the University of South Carolina was literally firing their trustees for spending $10 million on a coach's buyout. I would have to assume it was probably Will Muschamp. But have you heard anything about this?
Yeah. I think what this is, I think this is a bill in the legislature that would do that. And yes, it is irresponsible when you think about it. But if you're going to fire the trustees, all they did was sign off on it. They're not the ones who made the offer, are they?
No. And I agree. The only thing I was wondering, if would this set a precedent for all these coaches walking away with millions of dollars just because the university wanted a new coach, how that might affect.
Well, first of all, let me make it clear. This is just a House bill, Bubba. This is not. I don't think this has gone into effect yet. It would, but ultimately the trustees have supervision. But yeah, I think you have to start holding other people accountable too, like the decision makers on their campus who make these decisions that end up costing the university so much money. Let's check in with Will, who is in New York. Hello, Will. Go right ahead.
Hey, what's going on, Paul?
We are doing great.
So I got a comment and a question. My comment is that I'm in this picture. I don't know if you're a if you know Rob Zombie at all, but I was wondering if that's like Rob Zombie's like nephew or uncle or something like that.
keep talking because I'm struggling to completely understand what you're talking about here.
All right, hold on. All right,
Yeah, well, we're not holding on. If you got something to say, say it. TD is up next in Georgia. Hello, TD.
Hey, Paul, how's it going?
Very well, thank you.
Why is everybody so upset over this NIL?
I don't know. It's been in the water for about 2 years. It's been in effect for 9 months. Why now? I do not know.
Okay, before you bring Jimbo on, tell me exactly what he said that made everybody so mad.
Well, I don't think it's a matter of what he said. Jimbo Fisher hasn't said anything other than react and respond to the critics, especially Lane Kiffin. That's what we're. Jimbo Fisher just figured out a way to deal with the system more effectively than anybody else. I have yet to hear anybody point toward Jimbo and say, "You did this illegally." Now they may be telling their boosters that. But there's no evidence that Jimbo Fisher and Texas A&M did anything wrong. They just were able to beat everybody in a game that most were not familiar with playing.
All right, one quick thing. Didn't he say that what he did, it used to be illegal?
Yeah, no, he said what we're doing now used to be considered cheating, but it's not cheating any longer.
Yeah, but you know, he left out the most important part.
What's
that? You know what that is?
I do not.
If you get caught.
No, that's not what he's talking about. He's talking about the way they are getting players in. They are making money, but the school is not paying them the money. Anyway, we can debate this all day long, but we probably will choose not to. Matt is up next. What do you got, Matt?
So I've recalled in a while. I've been busy. I got one thing to say to all these stupid people. Put you Lane Kiffin is mad about in his recruiting class. Like Jimbo said, he's better at playing the game. And they just need to get over it and stop whining so much about it, Paul.
Why do you think so many people are flat out accusing Jimbo of illegal things? You know that.
I know that, but what's he saying in hindsight? Even if he did pay him or he did not pay him, it ain't illegal no more, Paul. So, and they got no proof he even did it. To me, they're just being whiny babies because they're ahead of the game, and they're not.
Well, that's exactly right. Well, thank you for the call, Matt. Dave is in Missouri. Dave, go right ahead.
Hi, Paul. This is the husband of Peggy, the grass eater. My question is, from what you've seen, Sam Pittman's Razorbacks, do you think that they have any chance of going to the championship?
Well, yeah, they always taught me never to answer questions with absolutes, but if you ask me, do I think they are a contender with Alabama to go to the championship, my answer would be no. I don't think they are.
Oh, well, I was kind of hoping they would, and I value your opinion. I hope it works out for him. I really do.
One thing I try not to do, I believe in being as straight as I can be. I don't need to praise Sam Pittman. Everyone knows he's a really good coach. But when you look at Arkansas right now, I think they are legitimate. They proved that last year. But, you know, it's one thing being legitimate. It's another thing knocking Alabama off. I mean, they don't have an easy – that's a tough path. In looking at the schedule, it's a pretty challenging schedule. And I think they could go 10-2, but I don't think they can run the table, which I think they would probably have to do to beat Alabama, to beat Alabama to Atlanta. We'll take a break. We are just off and running. Your phone calls continue here at 855-242-7285. And Jimbo Fisher expected to join us next.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/paul. That's hims.com/paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
We have spring football coming up on Saturday. The University of Kentucky at 1, Auburn and Texas A&M at 2 p.m. Okay, we are going to talk to Coach Fisher in just a moment. We will continue to take your phone calls at 855-242-7285, 855-242-7285. And we're really looking forward to talking to Coach Fisher because since we have visited with him last, so much has been made out of the dominance of Texas A&M in the past recruiting class, which doesn't seem to end. Let's welcome the coach to the program. Coach, very, very great. Very good to have you on. I know your game is coming up. We'll talk about that in a minute. But how are you?
Doing well, Paul. How are you doing, buddy?
We're doing great. And I know you've got a lot going on in your life, but you have become such an interesting target in college football now because of your success in recruiting, and you've responded to it in the past, but I'm just curious, and I think everyone is, how you are now coping with this role as somewhat of the villain of college football because of the success of your past recruiting class.
I don't know if I'm the villain, the hero, whatever it is. I don't have social media, so that's up to them. So it doesn't matter to me. We're just trying to get the players in here we need to get, and our staff's doing a great job of recruiting and hopefully putting together a great team.
Coach, I know you're moving ahead and you got a season to prepare for and spring football to wrap up, but and you've addressed it a couple of months ago, but do you feel like will it calm down, or do you think that's just the price of being successful in recruiting?
Well, I don't know. I hope it'll be successful in recruiting, successful on the field like we were 2 years ago and in the top four, and keep doing the things we got to do. I mean, that's up to somebody else. We're just going to do what we do. We're going to recruit. We're going to coach. We're going to play, and hopefully we'll continue to play well and grow this program into a national championship program and do the things we have to do. And whatever they have to say, they have to say. And like I said, there's issues in college football, that's for sure. But we're doing things the right way and the way they should be. And we got a tremendous university and tremendous staff to put together a tremendous university to sell. And everything's going well right now.
Let's talk about what you've seen on the practice field leading into the game Saturday. How would you describe your spring?
Growing. I think we had a lot of young players, had some older guys, had season-ending injuries at the end of last year that were out, which is, hopefully that way they'll be healthy in the fall. But a lot of our young players, our new players, we had 12 of the new freshmen come in. I think they're all doing really well, all making a good push in different positions, really learning some guys last year, some of our leadership guys have really taken the leadership role and started taking over the program. Our three quarterbacks, I think, are playing really well, keep growing each and every day. We're developing those young linemen, the young D linemen, and the linebackers in which we're at. And I've been very pleased with it. I mean, there's you have ups and downs in spring, but it's a lot of teaching. It's a lot of putting guys in situations to see how they react and a lot of fundamental work, to not only in your schemes, but just in technique and alignments and things of that nature and the new schemes you may put in a little bit more in the fall. So it's been a pleasant spring. I liked it. I mean, guys are working hard. Hopefully we'll stay injury-free and get through the spring game, these next two practices, and do well.
Coach, I know this is a question that will continue long after spring in relation to the quarterback situation and whether there has been any separation yet.
No, I mean, I think it's too early. I think there's so much learning going on right now. You got two guys who've never been in a program, and Max Johnson and Connor Wakeman, who have both grasped the system extremely well, having great days, throwing the football. Their talent is definitely there. It's elevating our team. Haynes is really pushing himself. It's great to have him back full steam since, you know, he got injured last year. I think he's taken a great role and leadership role in that regard. And those guys, they just battle back and forth, and they keep raising each other's game. And each brings some different things to the table, but a lot are very similar. I mean, like I say, Max is a much better athlete than people talk about, and I think Haynes definitely throws the ball much better than, because you always think of him as an athlete. And young Connor Wegman, who I'm very high on, I think is an excellent player, and you know, has all the tools to be a great player. So it's been fun. We rotate them with different groups, ones and twos, and got them each in there to interact with different kinds of guys, and I think that's important too, to see how they lead. You know, the older guys, the younger guys, and who, you know, always say great quarterbacks can find a way to move the ball with whoever's in the game. And those guys are experiencing that right now, and I think very pleased with where their development is right now.
Talking to Coach Jimbo Fisher of Texas A&M as the Aggies get ready for the spring. Coach, when spring ends, what will be left for you to decide when you next bring this group back in before the season? What will be at stake that hasn't already been determined?
Well, it'll be a lot to be determined. I mean, I always say this, you have spring heroes and you got them with ball start, that's the real ball. I say that. I mean, you have your footprint on things, and spring ball is extremely important, but you got to, what you do in the summer, I think the tremendous stride that you make right now from the rest, so school is out here, which is the beginning of May, and then all the way through your summer program, those guys, they're lifting, they're running, but more importantly, the schematics and the schemes which they do up on their own. They go so one-on-one, they go 7-on-7, all the things they have to do on their own that we have nothing to do with, that, you know, you see the individual development, that work ethic, and that come right. That's where that team's going to grow, that you know the foundation, the schemes we're going to use, how they can perfect them on their own until they get back to camp, and then we'll see who can really execute and consistently do it on a day-in, day-out basis. Because that's the big thing you're looking for, not only talent level, but the consistency to do your job each and every day and stay true to the process of how you go about your business and make sure that you're fundamentally sound, and then allow that athletic ability to take over.
Coach, you mentioned some of the other issues going on. One of them continues to be the issues in the portal. I know the coaches met a few weeks ago, and we'll all get together again in about 2 months at the spring meeting. What do you hear from your fellow coaches in regard to the portal? Because the ones that we talk to here seem really really uneasy about it and angry about what's been going on in terms of other schools and interference, especially beyond their control, such as agents involved.
No doubt. I mean, I think there is a lot of tampering that goes on within the portal. Because it's funny, when a guy gets in the portal, he already knows where he's going. And there's been a lot of schools been using that portal, I mean, extensively. So, I mean, they're getting guys like that. So, I think that's a big factor that goes on right now. And what's happening, where it's happening, and where you're going. And I think managing your roster. I mean, you got people coming in and, you know, you don't know when guys are leaving. What guy, you know, we've actually only had, we have one guy this year and one guy last year. We've only had two portal guys in 2 years. Not saying you won't ever use it in the past. I think each situation is different. We've been recruiting well. But at the same time, you don't ever know of your own guys who's in, who's out, and managing when, you know, you think you got a position with steps and all of a sudden two guys leave and then you're managing that on the back end of it. I mean, it's hard. It's the new rules and we have to adapt. I mean, that's for sure. But there's a lot of unknown that goes into it. And like you say, I do think there's a lot of people who stick their nose in, involved in it from outside sources in the portal part of it. And that makes it very tough too. So you're constantly managing not only in recruiting and the next group of guys you have, but you're managing your own roster and making sure that all those things are taken care of. And then, like I say, on a daily basis, there's always a crisis, it seems like, and good, bad, indifferent, whatever it is. But that's the rules we live by, so we have to abide by them.
Coach, I know it's not up to you to fix it. You're a football coach. You really don't get the final say, but you are listened to by everyone in the sport these days and for a long time. What would be, or is there a best case scenario to at least manage it better?
You know, that's the thing we've all been trying. We sit down as staff and we think about, I mean, I think there is a reason to transfer. I'm not going to say that there is not a reason to transfer. There is definitely a reason to transfer, but the rules, and that's the thing in which we had to set out rule. And, you know, you had to sit out a year, but then unless there's extenuating circumstances, well, then people make up extenuating circumstances to make sure their eligibility is there. and that puts you at risk as a coach. I mean, it goes back and forth in that regard. But I do think there's a rule. I don't know if it's graduation. I don't know if there is a year set. But, I mean, they say, well, coaches leave all the time too, but there's a financial penalty for that. There is a financial penalty for that. Or if your coach leaves, maybe that's a time. But that's a good question, Paul, and I don't have the answer. I'm like everyone else. because I do think there is a time for kids to transfer, and we've seen it successfully. But sometimes I think the random transfers, I think, and just when people are sticking their nose in and getting out, there's a whole other world and things that we're opening up right now that I think only time is going to be able to tell what we do. But there has to be something where it can't be open free agency 24 hours a day.
And that seems like where we are today. I know I mentioned at the beginning your success in recruiting, and you have been successful in the past. It's just more attention is being given. But how do you feel, though, as we wrap this up? Because A&M is in everyone's head and in everyone's mouth right now because of what you did. You nearly made the playoffs 2 years ago. You beat Alabama. That's a top topic we've discussed. You were number one in recruiting, and some are saying maybe the greatest class ever. Do you feel this is good for your program? I don't know if it's a bullseye on your back or not, but it's certainly creating a lot of attention to your program.
Oh, I definitely think it is, Paul. Success breeds it. I mean, people talk about you when you have success, and we haven't had it. We had tremendous success 2 years ago. Like I said, I thought we were in the playoffs. We weren't. Okay. So we're recruiting a great class, and that's where a lot of that came from, and we've got a lot of connections. This is a tremendous university academically. Culturally, you get the two largest alumni groups in the country. I mean, it's a great institution. You play great football here. We have 109,000 people at every game. We're winning. We're starting to push for wins and have a chance to be a very special program. We have a large recruiting base, but now we're recruiting nationally. And I think there's a lot of positive things here to give us an opportunity. If we continue to build the culture here and build the program, that we can be a national power and we can consistently do it. And we have the resources and the financial support from our administrations to put things in place to develop these young men when they're here educationally, personally, athletically, and all the things we have to do. And we have a chance to be a national power. And I think that hasn't happened in a long time. And I guess when you're new to the, party, I guess people are offended by it. I don't know. But I don't mind offended by anybody else's success. We're doing things the right way and we'll continue to do them that way. And we're happy to keep having the success we're having.
Well done. It's always great to have you on, Coach. So see you soon. Thanks so much for making time for us.
Thank you, Paul. Thank you, everybody.
Jimbo Fisher joining us from College Station. Those final words, very interesting in terms of how A&M didn't react when others were having success. It's interesting now that they are having success, the reaction of others. We will take a short break. Get your reaction to all of that right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Hey, welcome back. Great to have all of you here. Appreciate Coach Fisher joining us as we get ready for another spring football weekend. Three in a row. We had one last weekend as well. Let's get to the calls. And Frank in Minnesota. Hey, Frank.
Hey, Paul. How you doing today?
Very well, Frank.
Hey, Paul, in regards to the next commissioner of the Big 12, do you think you could help at all with kind of building a little bit of a groundswell of momentum and help all of us Big 10 fans and see if we could get Kevin Warren moved to the Big 12 commissioner role?
Frank, I'm afraid you're stuck with him. I don't think anyone else wants Commissioner Warren right now.
That's what I was afraid you were going to say, Paul. He's been absolutely terrible. No leadership, no direction, no nothing. And it would just be a blessing.
I'm surprised. And I say that because I've had the opportunity to get to know him. In fact, had dinner with him a couple of years ago. And sitting with him, I thought this guy was can't miss. He personable, great background, good family guy. His son played football at Mississippi State. We talked about that. And I don't know what has happened to him. I think I think he was intimidated a little bit by following a legend like Jim Delaney. So he was determined that I'm going to do it a different way. I don't think he got good counsel. I thought he totally blew COVID. And since then, has gone off really in a couple of directions that I think are terribly unfortunate, especially this ridiculous alliance that has served nothing but damaging the game of football by refusing to go in and support the expansion of the playoff.
Paul, couldn't agree more. We're also disappointed. You know, he was an executive in the Vikings up here in Minnesota, and he had a great track record, great pedigree, but just has really done nothing.
It pains me to say that because of my prior relationship with him, which is now non-existent, but I think, que sera, sera. Kenny is up next. Hey, Kenny. Kenny, you're on. Kenny, you got to answer the phone when you call. John is in Charlotte. Hello, John.
Hey, Paul. We were talking yesterday. I had a bad connection about the pods.
Right.
And, you know, we talked about, in my opinion, you have to keep the Iron Bowl, you have to keep the outdoor cocktail party, and you have to keep Auburn, Georgia, the oldest rivalry. And you threw out, you have to keep the Egg Bowl. But I still, I do think that the pod is going to, the Alabama pod will be Alabama, Auburn, Georgia, and Florida to appease the cocktail party. And the Arkansas.
Hold on a second. You said the pod would be Alabama, Georgia,
Auburn, and Florida.
No, there's no way.
If you don't have that pod, then you lose either the Iron Bowl.
Well, no, you don't have to have. Alabama and Auburn are going to be in the same pod, and Georgia and Florida are going to be in the same pod. But Alabama, Georgia, Florida, and Auburn are not going to be in the same pod.
Probably not, but that's all I said. Out of control, but if they would put Alabama, Georgia, Florida and Auburn in the same.
Well, you just can't do that. You can't have. But anyway, I don't know what it's going to be. I just know it's not going to be that. Thank you very, very much. We'll try Kenny again. Go ahead, Kenny.
Hey, Paul. Nice to talk to you today. How you doing?
Hey, we're doing great. Thank you.
Good. Listen, I want to ask you, what's your take, Paul, on A.J. Hall over there in Alabama? What's your take on that?
Well, Kenny, I don't know anything other than what I've heard. So it sounds like there was an issue, and I think Nick Saban's is out of patience, so he let the kid go.
Yeah, well, you know, didn't he have trouble last year, Paul? Didn't he get in trouble last year?
I don't. I know that Billingsley was in trouble the whole year, and he's gone now, but I don't know that. I think he had some sporadic issues based on what I've read.
Okay. I thought you might have something else on that.
Well, I wish I did. But I think I know Nick Saban well enough to know that he's sick and tired of putting up with things. And in today's world, it's difficult because, you know, Saban has run a program a certain way for a long time. And now, because of the success of our previous coach and others, it's more difficult because the pressures come. You heard what Jimbo said. You don't know when the next crisis is going to start. Usually you have the football season, winter, recruiting, and then once spring ends, there's a little bit of a break. But there's never a break because there's always some shark out there representing a player trying to get him to go somewhere else. Thank you for the call. Do appreciate it. Let's check in with Ryan in Cincinnati. Hey, Ryan.
How's it going, Grim Reaper?
We are grim and we are reaping.
Well, at least it's Masters Week to cheer us all up. So we got 4 days of looking at that glorious golf course.
You got it.
Mm-hmm. So, Paul, put myself up for adoption. I don't want to be associated with these crybaby Yankee callers who come in here and complain about the SEC and all the bias. So I'm putting myself up for adoption. Would you Southerners be willing to adopt me?
Well, if we could bypass the antiquated adoption laws, I'll go ahead and we'll take you in right now.
Oh, I appreciate it, Paul. Appreciate it. You know, I got to give Jim credit for handling the accusations about that being his kid. think that's the best job of seeing somebody handle the accusations, like back in the glory days when Devin took on the Mark Ingram allegations like a champ.
I think Jim had the right approach. Just simply ignore the spurious allegations from that snot-nosed little kid who was acting like he was his grandson, and Jim won that round hands down.
No, Jim was like Effley Bailey in a trial, and that kid was like Mark Furman after Bailey got done destroying him on stand.
Mark Furman was looking for the glove that did not fit.
And you know what, Paul? What was the term Jim used there with about the way he was with women? I forget what he said.
I think what did he call that? Flagrantly? Yeah. Whatever Jim said, you have to respect.
Yeah, because it was the opposite of your boy used to call in his Mildred and claim the bumped uglies term.
That guy was he had a 93-year-old woman having an affair with famous football coaches.
Coach Bryant, Pat Dye, back in the glory days, Paul, isn't that right?
You know, those were the good old days, Ryan, when the show was fun. There weren't censors off on behind the curtain. You're ready to come in here and lop my ear off if I allowed something like that.
Yeah, it was rated X. Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, but it was.
I mean, we got PG now.
Oh yeah, PG with warning.
Yeah, because you know what was about to happen, and it was pretty entertaining, especially when your buddy called in as Mildred. That was straight entertainment.
Yeah,
I don't know how you and Vickers
would say,
could keep it together.
I would say the first five or six Mildred calls were all timers.
Oh yeah. Those are classics. Those are a heart attack waiting to happen because you couldn't stop laughing so hard.
Well, Ryan, thank you for the call. Really appreciate it. We've had a busy start with Jimbo Fisher joining us. More guests a little bit later on, and your phone calls right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
And we welcome all of you back. Great to have you with us on a Thursday afternoon. And Dookie Will in North Carolina is up next.
Paul, Randy, I come in peace today. I just wanted to make a note of 5 months ago. It was kind of overlooked. But 5 months ago today, a legend, the Fool in Fool's Clothing, made two grand predictions that didn't really come true at all.
What were those?
The Bulldogs would never win a national championship.
Right.
And that the Atlanta Braves would never win a championship. I'm not really concerned about the Bulldogs. I mean, that's for you to handle and everyone else in SEC land. But tonight, the Braves will hit the field in gold championship-tinged jerseys, and we'll be getting our World Series rings Saturday, I believe. So maybe you can, when he calls in later on this afternoon, you can bring that failed expectation up with him. So
I'll give it a go, Dookie. Thanks for that enlightening call. Let's check out Tillman up next. Good afternoon, Tillman.
Nice to talk to you, Paul.
Thank you.
I just got a quick story for you, then I got a question. I remember back in the 60s, back in mine and your day, and especially the middle 60s, all those guys were friends of mine at Simon, Alabama, and they'd go up there. Things would get hot up there. And Coach Gartman and a couple of others, Mike Sasser, who played up there, they said that nobody would leave in the daytime. But at night, you could hear them at luggage going down them stairs because nobody would leave where anybody could see them. And I guess times has changed. But the question I got for you, is, you know, we signed, just say we signed John Smith from Louisiana, and he's a top pick, and we spend 3 years on him, working him, teaching him, developing his talent, and then he gets in the portals and leaves. Is there any possible way you could make that young man or his family pay the school back for some of the time they spent, or the college he's going to, make them pay him back? Is that possible, or is time's outgrooming?
No, it's not possible, because the school makes a commitment. They you know, you have to have that up front. So the only way to make that work is that when he signs a scholarship, there's a clause in there that says if you leave at some point. But remember, these scholarships are one-year deals. They're not. You don't get a four-year scholarship. I know that everyone, it sounds like you do, but they can be renewed at the end of every year. So I think that really, sometimes it's a little bit different than that. But for the most part, there's no way of that happening.
Okay. Well, you answered it. I was just curious to see why we spend so much money on them ball players and they leave us.
Well, that's what they're all upset about, because this is so new. We all wanted the portal to make it, to give athletes a chance, you know, the opportunity so they wouldn't have to sit out a year, which did seem unfair while coaches make the rounds. And now it's blown up. And what's happened is this NIL has factored into it, where you have unscrupulous agents contacting players indirectly or directly, letting them know what they can make somewhere else. And there's no way a coach can really deal with that. Trey is up next in Arkansas. Hello, Trey.
Hey, Paul. I got a history fact and a question. You ready to hear my history fact?
Go.
Did you know in 1964 Arkansas won a national championship, and it's their only one in history?
Yeah, I've heard that before, because I was on campus about 7 or 8 years ago when they were celebrating the 50th anniversary of that. But I'm trying to remember what poll that was. Do you know?
Yeah, that was the Cotton Bowl.
No, because the reason I bring that up is that Alabama also celebrates a national championship in 1964.
That's a lie, because Texas beat Alabama in their final game, and they lost.
But you have to remember, national championships went out that year before the bowl games, where I think one of the polls did.
Yeah, I think the Associated Press is the one that we have.
Yeah, that was the year that because Jerry Jones. I remember we had Jerry Jones on our show that Saturday morning. Talking about that. I'll double check, see which one was which.
And the final question, when do you think we'll win a next championship?
It's a little harder for me to predict. By the way, that year, both of the national championships were released before the bowl games.
Yeah. Crazy to think, huh? Only one in national in Arkansas history.
Yeah, I'm still trying to figure this thing out, because Alabama, I believe, was the UPI and AP. I'm still trying to figure out which one Arkansas won. But we will get that for you at some point. So I don't think Arkansas is considered. Let me double check before I commit to that. Dan is up next.
Hey, Paul. Thank you. Paul, I know LSU's fixing to get penalized, but why is the NCAA taking so long? It's, you know, I think it's affecting the recruiting for basketball and football, and I wish they would go ahead and do what they're going to do. Do you know anything about it?
Well, I know right now it's a very serious situation where they've made the – it just took a long – it takes them a long time to gather the information. Especially when early on your head coach was not cooperative.
Right, but don't they know that? So it may take a year or longer.
Well, no, you got to remember something, Dan. The school has the opportunity to they have X number of days to respond, and then there's it will be adjudicated, and then there's an appeals process. By the way, it's terrible, but unfortunately for LSU basketball, it's in serious trouble.